Movies You Should See is sponsored by Simply Everything. Visit simplysyndicated.com/everything to hear our entire back catalogue, new episodes before they're available as podcasts, and exclusive shows made just for Simply Everything, including every episode of Movies You Should See and the new series of Make It So. Hello, welcome to Movies You Should See. This time, I always say this week, but we've done four this week so far, in this Movies You Should See marathon, the 1953 classic Touch of Evil. Bollocks, that's the next one. You see the problems this causes me? I wondered why
and
I didn't have
I'm pretty sure
the,
it wasn't the right year either.
No,
but go on.
I
thought it was 1958, but go
my
on.
My heart sank then. Shit, I've watched the wrong movie.
Exactly. You don't do that to people. I've done both of them, but I, you know, that doesn't, you know. Right, do you want to start again? Peacefully.
Hello, welcome to Movies You Should See. This week we're recording the 1992 classic Sneakers.
Yay!
Yay!
Directed by some dude. I don't have it up yet. I was unprepared for Touch of Evil.
Directed by Phil Eldon Robinson.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you.
He made Field of Dreams.
He did, and other films too.
With most of the same cast. Oh, sorry. We'll get to that.
We'll get to it. We're joined by a wonderful group of people this week, apart from Alison.
Hello.
Hello. We've got Simon. From World 1, Stage 1, and Take It or Leave It. From Do Ask, Do Tell, we have Mr. Ian Pope. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And from... What are you doing these days, Boz?
Every time. Little Pod of Horrors.
Little Pod of Horrors. It's Boz.
Hello, my name is Boz, and my voice is my passport. Verify.
So we this
That's
is what we're doing
voice.
Here.
Please speak more slowly.
Let's jump right into some summary feelings of the show. Simon, will you start me off, please? How do you feel about Sneakers?
Do you know, this was the first time I watched it since I was 12, and I'd forgotten how much fun it was.
It's wonderful fun, isn't it?
It is. It's silly, occasional chuckles fun. It's a Robert Redford movie I like.
Cool. I'm trying not to speak because I've been eating chips.
You're a consummate professional.
I've just finished podcast. I'm going to do another one.
Yeah,
it's
three back-to-back with food in between and overlapping, clearly.
I was hoping Simon would say more. Boz, what did you think of Sneakers?
Take your time.
If you want to talk for a little
some
while, I've got some pizza left, so.
Go on, Ian, keep the order.
I thought it was brilliant. It was so much fun. I have watched a few movies this week because I've been told to because I'm doing Movies You Should See, and this was by far the movie I enjoyed the most. It was just good fun and funny in places.
Excellent, Buzz. What did you think?
Well, I have never seen this movie before.
Neither had I.
Watching it this week, and I actually finished it at roughly 10 o'clock this evening.
Me too.
Had a rather punishing schedule. So it's very fresh in my mind, and on the whole, first impressions, I really enjoyed it. You know, obviously, I had to think I'm watching a film from, was it 1992? So there's a lot of forgiving to do, but actually, there was loads of funny bits I just wasn't expecting. So I think, on the whole, I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Alison.
Yeah, it was all right.
There you go. I feel like the world just ended for somebody there. I'll cut that noise out. That's fine. I bloody love this film. I've seen it 1,000 times. I too haven't watched it since I was about 12. Hmm. Thinking about it. No, that can't be that because I was 12 in 1992.
Yeah, I saw this in the cinema when it came out.
Yeah.
And that was the last time I saw it before tonight.
But it was a home video classic for me and then a DVD. I don't think I've seen it in sort of the last 10 years or so. but I was quoting lines from it before they were said.
Yeah, you were.
All the way through.
This was my first time too. I've never seen it before.
I love this film because it was a film about hacking stuff with computers and the internet in 1992.
Yeah.
It was remarkably ahead of its time.
It was actually, it starts, let's be honest, them hacking a perfectly 1980s looking computer in 1969.
Yes, it was running a 1980s version of DOS somehow.
It was, wasn't it?
I did feel I recognized that. For 1969, the fact that they were sat in front of a computer with a monitor and a keyboard, and they were typing letters on the keyboard and they were showing up on the screen, not going to be invented for another few years.
Yeah.
Like, so even showing the big tape drives in the background, still like some weird point of non-history that never happened.
But it's like when you watch the movies that have the cavemen and the dinosaurs living alongside each other.
Precisely.
It never happened, but it makes a good movie.
There's so much forgiving to do, honestly.
That was a bit of, you know, technological history that completely passed me by, because I don't remember computing in 1992.
No, not really. Well, I do remember having a computer around me. It didn't look like that.
I think that was still the Amstrad years for me. Must have been, or early Amstrad years. Yeah. I can't remember.
Well, late Amstrad years, if at all. I think we were on, I think I was onto the Amiga.
We were onto Ataris in our house.
Oh, okay.
But still, the 1969 computer blew me away, because I thought they were like room-sized things.
They were.
Back then.
They were.
Yeah.
They did not have the internet.
Immediately, I had to go, all right, okay, that happened, and let myself get in the film, because I would have just gone, what is that?
That is the only sort of really horrific technical problem with the film.
It's the only horrific technical problem. There's a couple of other problems, but we'll get to them later.
I would argue that there is one huge gaping technical problem with this film, which is the thing it centres around.
The code-breaking machine.
Yes, the magic box that decrypts everything.
Everything. There's no code can get past
not
this little
Russian
black
codes.
Box.
No,
and it's tiny, you know. It's tiny.
It would be
actually
tiny.
It was a bit large, considering it was supposed to be a microprocessor.
Well, yeah, but it was 1992. I don't know. Tell me.
It was hidden in an answering machine, for God's sake.
Ever so much
those?
Like an answering machine to me, yeah.
Well, it was supposed to, but... So this is the film about Robert Redford and Sidney Poitier and Dan Aykroyd and River Phoenix and David Strathairn.
Okay, and the Black Eyed Peas.
They don't. They weren't. There would have been a woman there.
There was, though. There was a woman there.
Oh, yeah. There was. There was the president of the 12 colonies from Battlestar Galactica.
Of course.
Exactly.
She will never be that person.
She's one of all kinds.
Always this person to me.
She's always going to be the president now. Laura Rosalyn's such a good role for her.
Yeah.
Well, she's playing Fergie in this.
What's her actual name?
Fergie. Black Eyed
Mary
Peas.
Mary McDonnell.
Oh, yeah, her.
Drop the Black Eyed Peas thing.
True,
what, whenever you have a group of people and one of them's black,
there's a
you're
woman,
being like...
There's a black one, there's a blind one, there's a child one, there's a woman one, and then there's normal man.
That's okay,
no,
sure.
There's Robert Redford. Well, he's not a normal man.
No, well, he's the normal man.
He's according
black
to every person... Oh, well, there isn't one, obviously, I've made that up. everyone of my mother's age... adores him. It doesn't matter. My mum would have watched this despite not giving a damn what the story was about, just because he was in it.
See, I joke that I've seen this movie 200 times, but my mother has seen it 198 times.
Because Robert Redford's in it.
Yes.
And he looks fit.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's precisely it.
I thought he looked old.
He does, but he still looks fit for an old guy, you know.
Right, okay.
You've still
we also
got to,
need
like...
to drop in that, you know, you've also got Sir Ben Kingsley and
a
Vader.
Ponytail.
Darth Vader,
oh,
yeah.
Darth Vader's in it as well, yeah. And there's a ponytail. We've discussed that already this week.
Yeah, a couple of ponytails. We've decided I can't have one. It's good, though. I'm not getting one. Don't worry about it. So their job is to basically...
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
If you did, it'd have to be a mullet.
I've got a horrific image of you with a ponytail.
It's not happening.
Stop it now.
Do you know what?
Don't
do you know,
even imagine
Do you know
it.
When it came closest to happening?
When?
1992. Yeah. That's when it came closest to happening.
Did you have curtains?
You must have. You've seen the photos with my hair of the 90s.
Curtains hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
terrible. Pretty much still do.
Oh, it's my hair was awful, but still spectacular at the same time. It's weird how time can do that. Their job in this film is to be the people who break into the thing so that they know how the thing can be broken into.
Yeah.
We get a nice demo of this with them robbing a bank and then just giving the money back and getting paid for doing it.
Not much.
Yeah. Not much of a living.
And then they actually seemingly fast forward to the year 2012, 2013, in what is a spectacularly well-written vision of the future, where the NSA have commissioned the building of, are trying to find out this code-breaking thing that will allow them to spy on everybody over the internet, and they need Robert Redford and his crew to get it back for them. I've said that wrong. That's not it at all, is it? It's complicated.
Well, it is, because we think it's the NSA.
We think it's the NSA.
And that's so topical, it's hilarious.
I know.
Watching it for the first time. It was, oh, you're the guy heavy breathing on the end of the phone. No, that's the FBI.
We don't have jurisdiction over private hell. You fucking do. You're listening now, you twat.
I found the whole thing to be incredibly relevant to say it was made 21 years ago.
Exactly.
It was kind of spooky, actually, in that sense. It was like, does the NSA want to spy on the American people?
I think it does. I think this is actually a true story. I think that's the greatest con ever portrayed on the public. The film Sneakers isn't a fiction, it's a historical account.
It was a film designed by the NSA to avert suspicion by going, no, you're just talking about the plot of that movie with Robert Redford.
So you can just go, oh, that sneaker, sure.
He's dishy him. That'll get past everyone, especially the mums.
In fact, I believe when Edward Snowden first went to The Guardian, they did just dismiss him as an avid fan of this movie. And it took them some convincing to take him seriously. That's what happened.
And his reply was, well, of course I am, but...
Yes. Why do you think I got my job? I wonder how many people in the NSA and various organisations went on to get their job because they saw Sneakers in 92. In which case, they should know that what they're doing is wrong.
Exactly, they're the bad guys.
Yeah. And it's really being run by Sir Ben Kingsley. Who I think is awful in this film, by the way.
It's not his best...
No, not at all.
I think he's brilliant at what he's doing.
I know what you're saying, but...
It's a terrible performance, but he's loving it.
I think his accent is terrible, and expect that Sir Ben Kingsley can do an accent. You know...
Oh, but have you seen many Sir Ben Kingsley movies? He can also overdo an accent with the best of them.
I've seen many, but I think this... Actually, that's not true. I was going to say this is the worst... his worst performance, in my opinion, but there's always the Love Guru that skirts him below anything.
That's just a horrific film.
Have you seen it?
I've seen bits of it. Make it through.
I sat through it. I tried to put it on so I wouldn't watch it and would fall asleep, but was held looking at it by the sheer horror that it was financed and someone is still talking to Mike Myers.
I have to watch that movie.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Believe me when I tell you, you do not have to. No one has to watch that movie.
At no point is it remotely close to maybe being funny. And it will just make you hate Mike Myers. And you might still like him. So, don't lose that.
Exactly. Okay. He did Wayne's World. Let's leave it at that. So I Married an Axe Murderer. Let's move along.
Well, I was going to say, he did So I Married an Axe Murderer, so he will never truly fall from grace in my eyes, because that is got to be my favourite film of all time.
Then never watch The Love Guru. Never, ever.
I've got my friend Ralph coming to our wedding, and okay, he's not actually Scottish, but he's of Scottish descent, and he could do a pretty good accent. And I wanted to do this the first time we got married, but I think I'm going to slip him a tenner and just say, right, as soon as the ceremony's ended, just stand up, turn around to the rest of the congregation and just go, let's get pissed! It's got to be done.
You can kind of get away with it as well, I'm thinking.
Probably this time around.
Oh, nice thick accent.
Yep.
I have to
Catalonians will understand a word of it. No. Exactly. Fine, just bang on and we'll just piss ourselves. Exactly, that's brilliant.
I thought so. I have arranged already, in the event that Alison and I get married, something similar to occur. Not that exact thing. The thing I arranged is Mike is going to howl like a Wookiee. Right at the end, you know, like at the end of Star Wars, that it's gonna be like that.
Brilliant.
So that was the plan. And then you play the closing credit music of Star Wars as you leave the church. Or
sorry, who are you getting married to?
Municipal building. You'd already said we have discussed this very early in our relationship.
All I knew
when I made it very clear that in the event of a wedding, we'll do whatever the fuck you want, but I want to leave the building to the closing credits of Star Wars. That's all I want from the day.
If that's non-negotiable,
that's it.
Yeah.
And fast forward, how many years unmarried?
Exactly. Where's the fucking ring?
That's
Wookie
the
boy.
Only thing I would want. Call me Wookie Boy. Can you? Your microphone needs pulling down a bit.
I do apologise. Is that better?
That's better.
So I have a question going back to sneakers. Does anybody think when you first see Ben Kingsley come in his suit with his ponytail, that's Bill Maher?
Yeah, I can see that.
Bill Maher, cut your ponytail. Yeah, but you know he's evil because he's got a ponytail, right?
Yeah.
It's like a beard on your head, really. It's the way that you tell people that you're either sad, lonely, and miserable.
Let the most people keep their beards.
Well, on their face, lower down, usually at the front.
And I still
and the ponytail is usually up at the top on the back. So, they're there to signify evil or eternal loneliness. And so you can't
have a sense of fashion.
Yeah, you can't have one. You can have the evil one if you're Latino, if you're Mexican, Italian, Spanish, or anything like that. You can have the ponytail and be a baddie. But if you're British and you've got the ponytail, it's just the eternal loneliness that you get. So this doesn't work for me because it's a kind of greying, two-layered ponytail weird. Somebody spent a long time designing that ponytail. It wasn't just like a quick scrape back with a screen. It was serious and
for
upsetting.
Me, it was perfect. This is a guy who has grown up with technology and has a ponytail. I know these people. They don't work for the mob, the ones I know, but that's the only distinction between them. They want to.
Well, I was kind of looking for Birkenstocks to go with that, not the designer suit. Weird.
Well, I have to buck that trend because I'm pretty sure it was around the 92 to 96 mark that I was rocking the ponytail and I was doing fine with the ladies, thank you very much.
Well, you were young enough, you see.
Oh,
that's fine. You've got youth on your side. The minute that you hit 30, things change. It all changes. You're either evil or eternally lonely. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Anyone got a ponytail?
Funnily enough,
they haven't anymore.
With my 20s, so I'm entirely okay with what Alison is saying, only because she's put the marker at the 30s.
It's fine. It's 30. You've got to get serious at 30. True. You can have a massive party for your 30th, and then like the week after your 30th party, when you recover, you've got to be grown up and you can't have a ponytail anymore, unless you want to think people to think that you're either evil or eternally lonely. In which case, they don't want to be anywhere near you.
My last one must have disappeared at 26, 25, 26.
Bang on right. So there's a time and place for everything.
I've never strayed into ponytail territory.
There's a time and place for everything. And time for a ponytail is below 30. But probably older than 6 months. I don't like that thing with babies with the things in the hair. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, Tangent City, let's get back to Sneakers and Spying.
Sorry. Okay. Sneakers and Spying.
The tech hasn't aged well, has it?
I was actually thinking it wasn't too bad, and especially in light of having done Sneakers, where the difference being in Sneakers, they specifically mention a lot of technology.
You mean Hackers? This is
Hackers.
Sneakers.
Sorry, yeah. Yes, in Hackers, that's what they do. Like when you get the breakdown of how impressive What's-Her-Face's laptop is.
I was going to say, this film does well by not mentioning the specs of anything.
Yeah.
It's not about geekdom, is it? Really?
True.
It has a cray in it.
It does have a cray in it, but did they say it's a cray? Did they go, ooh, look at this
no,
cray?
No, that's true. They never even say it's a computer, which, considering it doesn't look like one, no one knows what that weird, brightly coloured tower is in the glass room in Cosmo's office.
So is that what that was?
Let's not mention the giant supercomputer.
Which had a half gigabyte of memory.
Wow!
Ooh, half a gig.
Jesus.
Well, I'll tell you what, and Rich, you'll appreciate this. Do you know why cray supercomputers are round?
No.
Because the components are arranged around a central cooling core.
Really, aren't they?
Yes.
Interesting.
Much like the new Mac Pro.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And it was in Palo Alto that it happened.
It was.
Well.
It was
oh
in Palo
God.
Alto. I forgot that. It's all set in and around San Francisco.
Well, it had to be because it's kind of tech city, isn't it? It's Silicon Valley kind of stuff. Palo Alto is mentioned by name. The route that they come out of San Francisco is towards Silicon Valley, all that kind of stuff.
That explains the big question I had. Was how come they had the enhance button on the video back then? Because it worked amazingly.
I've never seen anything quite like that.
No.
Still, somebody's tits got in the way, didn't they? Hey? You can't account for tits getting in the way.
Yeah, it was her ass that was in the way.
Was it?
All right.
I was probably just distracted.
Simon was paying attention,
the tits.
Obviously.
More so than anyone else in that scene, because this is one of my problems with it. They don't seem very good at what they do. Because that was the scene where they were videotaping an office they were going to break into later.
Mm.
And at one point, the guy blatantly opens the door, and there's his door with a keypad on it. And later on, they break into the office, and they go, oh, God, it's got a keypad lock. I wasn't expecting this.
Looking at it. You can read enhanced things from 300 yards away. You should know that code. But some things that are really spectacular to me, you know, like the Braille reader and the Braille monitor, is amazing. Amazing.
That was cool.
How does
I've
the
never
Braille
seen
monitor
anything quite like that
work?
In my life.
That Braille monitor, that was a real technology, because back then your terminals were text-based and they were 80 character columns of fixed-width fonts. So you had a slab with 80 little units that could project these little pins up to form Braille figures in 80 column rows, and you could then press a button on the side to pan down the screen and you could get a Braille reading of an entire 80 column terminal.
That's fantastic.
Clever stuff.
That was the thing that impressed me most, because I wasn't really impressed, and I don't think people were at the time either, about the codebreaker suddenly appearing from encrypted code into proper words. I wasn't, you know, I tried to get back to a 1992 version of myself and whether I would have been impressed with that, and I don't think I would have been at that year. It's just stuff on a screen, isn't it? It's not really that mind-blowing, whereas a guy using a Braille monitor is impressive. Especially at the speed that David Strathairn does it at. It's incredible.
I was always very impressed by the Braille interface and couldn't get my head around how it actually worked. I'm glad to know it's a real thing, though. Mm. Right. I'm totally us about face with this film now. I don't know where we are. What's the right thing to talk about next? I'm totally lost.
How about the completely overdramatic music at every point?
I adore the soundtrack for this film.
I just watched the other film as well. The one that we're doing after. Now, that's the soundtrack. The one for Sneakers was just a bit TV-esque. It was a bit much.
It was so over the top. It's like I'm typing something in and the background's like dun 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 dun. It's just like trying to make it way more dramatic than it actually is. I'm walking slowly across a room. Dun, 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 dun.
Mind you, this is the film that makes slowly walking across slowly room. The best tension builder ever.
Yeah.
See, I didn't think it was because I was just annoyed immediately because we've been told that he's got to walk across a room at no more than 2 inches per second. And yet each movement that he makes is a full stride forward of at least a foot. And he might do that quite slowly, but it's still a foot in about 3 seconds. He's going to get found out. It just makes me angry.
They tell you have the room at the wrong temperature as well.
Hang on.
What the hell? It was too hot in there.
That was your core body temperature they set that room to, so that no one would notice the difference of having a person in there. But do you know what? Your core body temperature is different to your surface temperature.
Yeah. He would have been quite unwell in there, I would have thought.
And he wasn't really sweating much to say that room was that warm.
Exactly.
No, the only reason we know it was that hot is because when Ben Kingsley walks in there, he goes, "Why is it so hot in here?"
Which, somebody left at least a radiator on. Yes. I wanted to see like steam on mirrors and things like that. You know, plants wilting.
Yeah. There's a great little one-liners in this, though. And one that wasn't a one-liner, which made me really notice. I actually made a little note, and I put, "Never before has the word anal provoked such a stunned reaction with such an innocent usage."
Mind you, if Richard had been drinking at the time, Sydney Poitier said motherfuckers at the end,
yeah,
then our telly would be broken right now. Because you've watched this film like hundreds of times, never heard Sydney Poitier say motherfuckers.
No, never.
Of course, it would always have been edited.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I didn't know he said that. And then
they put all the language in to avoid a G rating.
Yeah, it was deliberately added to the script.
Yeah, but then they've clearly removed it all and gone, "No, kids, honestly, it is for you." And now you're hearing the anal and the motherfucker and the head and all the rest of it.
Well, considering he called him Midnight, I just hit him in the face with a shotgun and called him a motherfucker as well.
That was a wink to that one.
Exactly.
I say, if looks could kill, that guy's head should have exploded like he was in Scanners. Seriously. It was brilliant.
And of all the people to say it to.
Exactly.
Sydney fucking Poitier. Who once again demonstrates in this film that he is an absolute fucking badass. And should not be messed with. Because he'll split your head.
Or turn into a Godzilla-sized mechanized monster.
Yes.
Mega Poitier!
That's Seth Tortoise.
I love that.
Right. I'm still lost, you know. I don't know what to say. I just hasn't gone at all.
Well,
like
it's a funny one, because it's...
It is.
Oh, who have we been set up by? Oh, it was the NSA who asked us to do this, but they're not the NSA, the bad guys. And they want this whole database, and oh my gosh, we've given it to the wrong people, and we better get it back, and oh... And who is the bad guy? Well, the bad guy, let's talk about him, because the bad guy, when we were hacking in the 1980s computer in 1969, and Robert Redford, just after they've managed to DOS transfer $25,000 from one account to another, decides that he's hungry and wants to go for pizza. At which point, these two geeks using the world's most advanced computer get caught by the police, but he's out getting pizza, so his mate goes to prison and apparently dies in prison.
Yeah.
For which Robert Redford feels what?
What?
Not much, really.
No.
You know, when he's talking
he's
about it, he's
about
like,
it
oh, it's, yeah,
life.
It happened, it's terrible. Now, what are we doing next?
And everyone's looking at him like, you bastard. fantastic.
Exactly. Like, yeah, well, it fucking happened. Come on, then.
He's what? Had time to come to terms with it.
I was getting pizza. Fucking way too chill about that. Way too chill.
So here's a question. If you were in that situation, then you'd been the one to go and get pizza. Would you go back in and take the wrap with your mate?
Would I?
Would you just leg it?
Do you know
I would have gone to Canada.
I'd probably think, whoopee, more pizza. Honestly.
I would have come to terms with it.
Yeah.
It's taken me some time. Maybe after a few slices. The remorse would kick in.
You think I should have had three, not four?
I didn't really need two different flavours of pizza. Yeah.
I'm going to regret that in the morning. That's too much cheese.
Especially not the side of wedges that you got.
Yeah. I shouldn't have got the cheeseburger stuffed crust. That was a mistake.
Cheeseburger stuffed crust. You know, I want one of those now you said
that. Is that a real thing?
Is a real thing, yeah.
Where is that a thing? Is that a Pizza Hut thing?
It is, yeah. I believe first mentioned on World 1 Stage 1, actually.
They've not publicised that anything like enough. We're having shitty takeaway pizza and pizza that have got cheeseburger stuffed crust. My God. Thank you for the pizza earlier, by the way.
I could, actually.
Oh, I could. Yeah, we had the... Oh, my God, look at it.
Is it there? Is it really
Alison,
true?
Look at pizzahut.co.uk. Alison, look, go and look. Go and look at that. Oh, my God.
I'm going.
Pizza. That's incredible.
Welcome to Tangents You Should Follow.
I apologise.
Get one of these.
You have to scroll down the front page, and there's a picture. Cheeseburger pizza crust.
Visit our homepage. No, I've pressed order.
That's just subliminal.
Oh no, I've entered my credit card details. I got pizza.
Oh my God, there's a pizza arriving.
Barclay George. Oh, look at that. That's not right.
Is a large pizza with what? 1, 2, 8 cheeseburgers? 10 cheeseburgers, it looks like. Just stuck on the crust. Because if I ever thought anything while I was eating a pizza, it's what would go well with this? I know, 10 cheeseburgers.
Look at them. Look at that.
That's ridiculous, but I want one tomorrow. You know, we've got to eat that chicken tomorrow, haven't we?
When eating out, there's always a choice burger or pizza. Now you don't have to make that choice.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
That shouldn't be. I mean, I want one and I'll eat it, but it shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be.
Oh, my God.
They get asking for a coronary if you have one of those.
I'm just checking that they do them. Yep, they're there. Yeah, oh, they're bad.
It's a real thing.
That's
it exists.
That's like, what, a pizza and 10 sliders. Ridiculous. It does kind of look like a flat Yorkshire pudding, though, which is putting me off. The cheeseburgers around the edge of the pizza are not putting me off. It's the cup shape. Pizza dough.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I have an issue with.
I'm sure it'll
but
be
I'll
fine.
I'll have one for tea.
Welcome
tomorrow.
To Super Happy Fun Time.
Yeah. That's where we are. Do you remember we were reviewing sneakers?
Yeah, where they also went out for pizza but didn't.
Let's talk about some of the people in sneakers then. Let's talk about. Because Simon said he didn't like Robert Redford films, didn't you? Didn't he?
I don't dislike them. It's just he very rarely is in things I like.
I hated Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I think we all did, didn't we?
No, I loved that film.
I didn't hate it.
Oh, I hated it. It was boring.
It's all right.
It's all right. It's well made. It's good. It's just not my thing necessarily, and I don't necessarily want to watch it again, but it was good.
I did enjoy The Sting.
I enjoyed The Sting. That was good.
I think he's generally, throughout his career, had more hits than misses.
Let me get his doodah up.
That's the thing. They're not misses. They're just, you know, a lot of films I don't really care for. The Untouchables is good. Sting is good.
He's not in The Untouchables. He's in The Untouchables.
He's one of those people where I haven't seen many movies he's in, and then realise, actually, I've seen
most of them. Seen that's the Untouchables TV series. No, he wasn't in the movie.
Right,
no.
Okay.
Okay.
All the President's Men, which is a great film. Let's go back. Indecent Proposal, you know, he was really good in that.
I've still never seen Indecent Proposal.
It's all right, you know.
I'm sure it is.
It's all right.
It's actually quite decent.
I would watch it. I see what you did there.
You managed to believe what's going on, which is quite a stretch, really, given the situation. But you believe it. And it's all mainly partly because of Robert Redford's convincing portrayal of his character in that film.
That's a lot of years since I saw that.
Yeah.
See, having looked through his IMDb page, I've seen barely any of these movies. But he is in the new Captain America film.
Yeah, he is.
Looks quite awesome, so I'm looking forward to seeing him in that.
Well, yeah, it can't be worse than the first one.
Over on that one. Ah, the first one was really good.
I didn't like it at all.
You just seem quite miserable, Ian, I must say. What does he like? Nothing.
I enjoyed this movie a lot.
Okay.
Wait for, you know, another show for, you know, the full-on bile.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up.
You can't preemptively strike against Ian for what you know is coming.
that's true. Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd. What does everyone think of Dan Aykroyd? Because there was a moment when he was huge. Both... In popularity and size.
Quite a few moments when he was huge.
And the man has been responsible for and has taken part in some of the great comedy films of ours and the previous generation.
Dragnet.
The man co-wrote and co-created Ghostbusters. He can do no wrong.
And the Blues Brothers as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he owns a chain of blues clubs and that sort of thing. He's done a lot of good artistically.
Mm.
He does think the aliens are coming, though.
Does he?
Yeah.
In real life?
Yeah.
Because he does in this film, doesn't he? So? Yeah,
well, Mr. Conspiracy Theory.
You know how he is in this film.
Is that... Is he not playing...
Kind of like how he is.
Yeah. Okay.
There is a film someone got to sit and interview him for an hour and a half, and you can just listen to the most absolute uncontrolled madness coming out of Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
It's remarkable. And he chain smokes through the entire thing as well.
Well, you know, if the aliens are coming, what are you preserving your lungs for?
Exactly. The thing is, I think he thought the aliens were coming last year. So I've not heard much from him since.
Hiding because he knows they're here.
Yeah, that's it.
Or maybe they did come quietly and they've just taken him.
Yeah, just him.
Well, he's still around. He was in Behind the Candelabra.
Ah. Damn, that was my theory out of the water.
Yeah.
Was he? Or was it someone who looked a lot like him?
Exactly, we don't know. I'm doing a search for Dan Aykroyd aliens on YouTube. Yeah, Dan Aykroyd believes... It's called Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs. That's the film. You might find it on the internet, because it's not like it's a proper film or anything. It's kind of like I made it. So it might well be floating around out there, but it's basically an hour and a half of letting Dan Aykroyd just dig his own grave, so to speak, from a PR standpoint. And I think it's made worse by the fact that the guy who made it is kind of on Dan Aykroyd's side with it all.
Mm.
So
it's a sympathetic piece.
Yeah, it's not like let's view a mad guy. It's like let's listen to what this guy has got to say because he's famous and clearly knows more than me. That kind of thing. It's a bit odd. Sidney Poitier is a legendary actor of biblical proportions, let's be honest.
My name is Mr. Tibbs. Sorry.
Did we ever do that film?
No.
What's it called?
In the Heat of the Night.
In the Heat of the Night. It was the first film I watched on Netflix.
Was it?
It was. There's an insignificant piece of trivia for you. If we ever go on Mr. and Mrs. and they say, what was the first film Rich ever watched on Netflix? In the Heat of the Night.
Okay.
Sidney Poitier.
Okay.
Amazing film.
Yeah.
So, this is actually a wonderful cast to have put together. I don't know what it would cost nowadays to do that. Well, it can't have been cheap in 1992.
It would cost a lot to put this cast together because you'd have to reanimate River
Phoenix. I was going to say, you including reanimation costs.
Oh, bless River Phoenix.
Well, that's amazing.
What, reanimating River Phoenix?
No, I'm looking at Poitier's filmography and I've seen... There's loads and I've seen two of them. One of which I watched this evening.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You need to go.
I've got to say, I haven't seen many.
Let me see. I think I've seen more than I think I've seen, and I think I've seen quite a few, but by no means all of them.
I think I've seen one, which I watched this evening.
Guess who's coming to dinner? And Sir with Love.
Okay, so definitely Sneakers. Deadly Pursuit, that's a good one, with Sidney Poitier and Richard Gere. And that's the film where Richard Gere is a mountain climbing instructor, and he's married to Kirstie Alley, and she's also a mountain climbing instructor. And she's taken a tour group off up onto the mountain, and they're doing camping and hiking and everything. But then Sidney Poitier turns up and goes, "Where's your tour group?" And they've gone. Like, they can't have gone because one of them is a secret murderer. And then so it's now like Richard Gere's the only person that could get Sidney Poitier up the mountain in time to catch the murderer and save Kirstie Alley.
Yeah, I'm not watching that.
It's brilliant. Honestly. What's wrong? That's an exciting film. What's wrong with that?
I have seen one of these Sidney Poitier movies, and I watched that this evening.
I have seen as many Sidney Poitier movies as I have seen films directed by Sidney Poitier, specifically Ghost Dad.
Did he direct Ghost Dad?
Apparently.
Oh, shit.
A Patch of Blue's supposed to be good.
They're all supposed to be good. It's Sidney Poitier.
No, I really, really want to see this. He plays a guy who helps a white blind girl to get out of a horrible home life and poverty.
You're ever so quiet.
Sorry. You need to... Let me get closer.
That's much better, thank you. He's 86 years old and he still looks like he could kick my ass.
Well, he did 20 years ago.
Oh, he
Rich, no offence, he probably could.
He probably could. I'm happy for that. That's fine. There are many people who could kick my ass. I'm quite happy to have Sidney Poitier be on that list.
I've seen two. I've seen two Sidney Poitier movies. I've seen The Jackal.
Yeah, I've seen The Jackal, but that's my other one.
Okay. David Strathairn was great. I can't say... Is it Strathairn?
I think Strathairn's fine.
Must be. Of course, Piers Pasha in L.A. Confidential. Good night and good luck. He was in... Oh, God, are they doing another Godzilla film? Oh, it looks like they are.
Yeah, of course they are. It's the same production company as did Pacific Rim, and everyone's saying they've shot themselves in the foot by doing the Godzilla movie with, like, 8 Godzillas in it, and then Godzilla.
Yeah, I see what you mean there.
But isn't it supposed to actually look like Godzilla this time?
Yeah, oh, and it does. I've seen the pictures, and it looks like Godzilla. It's really good. But Pacific Rim had 8 Godzilla-type monsters and giant robots.
Yeah. I didn't like it, though.
Oh, why not? It was amazing.
I don't know. And, like, there you go. First thing Rick did when he came out was like, "Boss, have you seen this?" And I went, "Yeah, I didn't like it." And... I think they over-cheesed it. Script was terrible.
Okay, not only did you have giant vote robots versus giant monsters, but you also had topless Charlie Hunnam. I don't know what more you want out of a movie.
Acting
and storyline
plot
script. No.
Out of several movies, I would want a script and a plot, but this was giant robots punching giant monsters for an hour and a half with Idris Elba and Charlie Hannon. I'm okay with this.
My point is, though, people know enough about my movie tastes. I mean, they're very similar to one Mr. Will Tristram's movie taste, in that if it's got guns and explosions and big robots hitting each other, normally I am completely happy with that. For me to have a problem with this movie... The script must have been so very bad that I noticed it. Because normally I just watch any old shit. So for me to have an issue with it, it must be terrible. Surely, can no one else see this?
No, you're wrong. It's a brilliant film.
Okay. No, it was amazing.
You're just wrong. I'm sorry.
I'll watch it again then.
Everybody's
in the wrong mood.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and we all interpret art in different ways and get different things out of it. But you're wrong. It's just an awesome movie with giant robots fighting giant monsters from space. Why do you not like that? Why do you need a plot?
I don't know. I mean, I like The Fifth Element, for fuck's sake, and I didn't like this movie. Something's changed.
Clearly.
It's moving south, I swear.
It is. It softens you right up.
Right, leave the South alone.
I thought that's why you'd left.
I said, all right, I'll distance myself. I'm from the West Country, it's fine.
Exactly, you get a free pass.
River Phoenix is somebody who I've never really seen in things, and he was very pretty.
Yeah.
I just IMDb'd him, and he died. 93.
Yeah,
you're not old enough to remember him, are you?
Okay, let me put you in the scene because
when he died, I was 5 years old.
When he died, I was a bit younger than him, and to me, River Phoenix was the guy on my bedroom wall. I'd seen him. Well, I think I probably saw the body. What was it called? Stand By Me. Quite a lot older, anyway. But I kind of knew him as just the teenage heartthrob of the day, and he got involved in drugs, and he was at a club called the Viper Room in LA, and he'd been taking lots of different drugs and alcohol and overdosed there when he was only very young and very beautiful, and it was incredibly tragic for him to die so young and so publicly. It was horrible.
But I knew him from Explorers onwards. And I'm trying to think of a modern day equivalent. He's up there with sort of, I want to say people like Zac Efron, but he's not taken seriously enough. River Phoenix was always...
He was serious because he was a proper actor.
Yeah, he went on to do things like My Own Private Idaho.
Which is why I'm surprised I've never heard of him.
I've never even heard of that film, and I've seen it and I want to watch it. I've actually queued it up to put on my Netflix.
You will love it.
I think you might like that film.
You will
love
it. You will cry, Ian.
That was pre-Sneakers.
It was pre-Sneakers, and Stand By Me was pre-Sneakers.
I mean, he was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, for fuck's sake. He was Indiana Jones.
Of course he was.
In all the bit where it's young Indiana Jones at the beginning.
Oh my God.
That's River Phoenix, yes.
Okay.
Everybody's last but me. It's all River Phoenix. All that bit. He was huge. Absolutely huge. And very well respected for what he did. And it was rather tragic and unexected what happened to him.
It was so sad. It was one of those times as I think I was probably still a teenager. What have you got?
It was 23 when he died.
It was 93. It was 20 years ago tomorrow.
Was it really?
It was.
Shit, yeah.
31st of October
1993. Wow. So I was 19. And I was still in love with him. He was still being totally in my heart.
He would,
at the time that he died,
still be going if he was around.
Yeah.
Now, Leonardo DiCaprio would be another
exactly.
equivalent.
Leonardo DiCaprio is the most close approximation to
yeah,
River Phoenix.
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
The roles would be going to him or Leonardo DiCaprio now, without a doubt. In fact, actually, no, because he would have been a good sort of 10, 15 years older than Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right, right now. Yeah.
So they wouldn't, but, yeah, so he wouldn't be going for the same roles nowadays, but similar sort of thing.
They're the same person in Hollywood, you know.
Actually, they're only 4 years apart in age, Leonardo DiCaprio and River Phoenix, so they really would be vying for roles.
Yeah, they would be. They would, and there'd be some damn good films out there with him in, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
And fewer with Leonardo DiCaprio in. Maybe he'd have done The Beach.
I was going to say, I could see River Phoenix doing The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Definitely.
According to this, he did a film in 2012. I'm not quite sure how that happened.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I saw that and was very confused about that credit.
Is it old footage or something? Where are you finding that?
Yeah, it says boy, so I'm presuming it's some footage of him as a child or something. So
in the movie,
the film's called Dark Blood.
Very odd. I don't know what to.
Oh, this was filmed in the 90s and it was unfinished.
Oh, right, yeah. Due to River Phoenix's sudden death, shooting the film was never finished. At the final cut, 2013, director George Sluzer is reading from the script's narration of the missing scenes. Right.
Interesting.
He died 11 days before the scheduled completion date.
Really?
Wow. I had no idea. No idea. The Viper Rooms are still there in LA, aren't they?
I don't know. I believe so.
I think it became a bit of a landmark for people, actually.
It already was. It was a hip hangout where young celebrities went, and young LA hip crew with a lot of money used to go there, and clearly shit went down.
And there's one in Sheffield. So if you
there isn't one in Sheffield. There's a club in Sheffield is. That's
Sheffield ViperRooms.com. It's what?
It's taken its name. It's not the same franchise, is it? Yeah. Really?
Probably not.
But yeah, I mean, at the time, it was the year it opened actually, and it was a big deal because Johnny Depp was one of the owners, and it was that kind of a place.
Mm. Ah. See, now there's another similar kind of person would be Johnny Depp as well, I think. You could see River Phoenix, 20 years older, being Captain Jack Sparrow.
Mm. Yeah.
That would work. So he's in sneakers. Remember sneakers?
Yeah. Yeah, I do, yeah.
Hey, what were we talking about sneakers. That at some point?
Yeah.
Because I, with the whole Twitter, Facebook, social media thing, I'd set up my profile, never really thought about it again. And obviously you get to know new people through new circles, and all they know about you is what your profile says. So, of course, my Twitter profile says, blind man, 30 blah years old.
Yeah, people think you're blind, yeah?
Yes. looking at my Twitter feed, my customer's driving up the M6. They're like, he's driving?
Well, it can be done. We've seen that.
Exactly. It is possible.
Yeah.
That was a great little scene. I really enjoyed that.
I adore that scene. I adore David Strathairn's acting in that scene. Fantastic. His reaction when he goes through the gate. No one told him it was coming.
He says, stop in 5 seconds. Bang!
Yes.
I think he does a wonderful job in this film all the way through.
He does.
He's clearly not blind, but you didn't know it from this. This was the first film I saw him in. The next film I saw him in was The River Wild, in which he fights Kevin Bacon, so he's really not blind. I was stunned all the way through that he wasn't blind.
There was one moment in the driving scene, and I'd love to know if it's in the script or improvised, and it's when he hits one of the bumps and his headset comes loose, and he reaches up and adjusts it and then says to himself, no, don't do that, you're driving.
Don't distract yourself any further than blindness.
Yeah, I remember seeing music videos for Stevie Wonder songs in which he's driving. I swear these things exist.
Is he in a car in I Just Called to Say I Love You?
No, it's a later one.
Is it?
I suspect those have been broadly fictionalised.
Oh, yes, I think so. It's just, I just found it quite comical that, why have you even done that? We all know that Stevie Wonder is blind. At no point do we expect to see him driving a car, and nor will we hold it against him if he never does drive one. In fact, we'd rather he didn't. But yeah, in your music video, you've put him in driving a car. And then I think in the same video, he was in, like, Dodgems as well. Which is, and you see him just driving around singing, he's like, but he's blind. Why? It's just a good job they didn't like just leave him stuck in a corner, thinking he was driving and not knowing he wasn't going anywhere.
I realise I may have just done the same again. I should contextualise the fact that I just told that little story. I fit blinds for a living, by the way, if you don't know who I am.
That's why you were saying you were a blind man. You are a blind man, you're just not a blind man.
Yes. I did the same thing all over. But the end made me chuckle as well.
I have fantasised about living through the ending, perhaps with Tristan pointing a gun at me on the roof, trying to convince me that the world is all just information now. Like, yeah, you're not going to shoot me, Tristan. Shut up.
You know. Given that stack of hard drives he's got, it wouldn't surprise me.
Exactly. That's
See, I have a big problem with that scene. If he truly believes the world is purely information, why has he got a gun?
He thinks they're in the Matrix.
Clearly he believes in the direct application of force, or he wouldn't own a gun.
He's such a tragic character. I feel so bad for Sir Ben at the end of this show, at the end of this film. Because he's clearly been this teenager that was dragged into prison and put with people that he should never have met and dragged into a life that he would never have had in organized crime and that sort of thing. And at the end, he just doesn't want his friend to go again.
Mm.
It's so sad. He's never really going to kill him. It is all for show. And I realized watching it again today just how much he's never going to shoot him. And his final words, don't go. Please just hang out. We'll play Nintendo and stuff. It'll be great. But no, he has to go.
I have a question about that thing. Is it the little black box? Could they not have reverse engineered that somehow? So he had like 3 more copies back down in his office somewhere.
Not quickly and not easily. It was an integrated circuit, so there's stuff that you'd need, you know, serious electron microscope and time to reverse engineer.
Okay.
There you go, you see.
You're just looking for holes.
Yeah. No, it's relatively hole-free.
There's a lot of attention to detail in this. They worked alongside mathematicians, you know, to do all of those calculations on the screen in the beginning of the film.
And to get a lot of the jargon in the lecture.
Yeah. And it's all accurate.
Yeah, it was given by one of the co-creators of RSA encryption, which is pretty much our industry standard for really secure encryption today.
Yeah.
And they got into a lot of trouble for actually hacking air traffic control. So, you know, they went the whole hog.
Mm.
They didn't really.
No.
Okay. How long have we been doing this? 1 hour and 7 minutes.
Long enough, I think.
Shall we call this to
for about 8 tangents, I think.
Let's have everybody give Sneakers a score out of 5. And let's start with Simon.
Out of 5, I'd have to give it a 4. It's hugely enjoyable and relatively free of serious fuck-ups.
Excellent. Yeah, I agree with you. So for Boz,
I'm wavering because my instinct is to give it a 3, but then, like you say, when you analyse it, on what basis are you not giving it 4? I mean, it comes down
to tell you.
Do not influence my decision.
No, you're going first. That's the whole point. He's keeping me till last.
It is a difficult one. I'm probably going to stick with my 3. Not because there's anything wrong with the movie. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoy a 4-star movie. That's all I can say, really. But yeah, great little movie. So 3 for me.
Ian.
I enjoyed it. I would, you know, collar some of my friends who probably haven't seen this movie and say, let's watch this. It's quite fun. So I'm going to say 4.
Okay. It's 3-4 so far, isn't it?
No. Boz gave it a...
Oh, sorry.
There's a 2 fours and a 3.
2 fours and a 3. What are you going to give it, Alison?
I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
Thought you might.
I can't go any lower because it is really, really enjoyable. And River Phoenix is in it, obviously, this beautiful boy. And the scene with the headpiece and relaying words to the woman was so funny. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a 3 for pure entertainment. Why it's not a 4? It's not a 4 because of the really anachronous computer at the beginning, for the ridiculous delay in time with they've almost got you, you've got 5 seconds, end the call. And he uses all 5 seconds to make a decision to end the call. I don't like that.
Oh, in terms of timing, that's not my least favourite. My least favourite is when he's slowly walking across the office and he's got about 40 feet to go. And the other team walk up towards him and take about 3 minutes to get there. And he's done. He's gone.
He's gone. It should have been a 35-minute job, that what he was doing there. But he was clearly rushing. He was going much faster than 2 inches a second. It was just a whole lie. And the real reason is the whole bit was, you know, you kill him, and then the huge delay while someone wants to talk about how great it is to kill him, at which point all kinds of things can happen to prevent the death. So, you know, kill them should have been what happened, but that whole contrived, well, I'm getting to enjoy killing you moment, it's just silly. So that's why it can't have a fault, and that soundtrack was abominable.
You know, some people like it, but...
I think you mean, but okay, you know.
It's a fucking enjoyable film. It's not the greatest. It's not even great. It's good. It's really good.
Well, it's a 14 out of a possible 20, which makes it a movie you should see. It makes it as good as Ghostwatch. It makes it better than Desperado, which apparently isn't as good as Ghostwatch. So
now you see, I'd have had something to say about that.
Anyway. I know. I was shocked. I was really shocked at that one, but that wasn't Alison's fault. She gave it a 4.
I wasn't even there.
Oh, you weren't there?
No, I wasn't there for Ghostwatch.
Desperado.
Oh, I gave it a 4.
Yeah, there you go, you see.
Good.
Sorry.
I can't have a 5, but I can have a 4.
Who gave it a 2? Was that Scott? I can't remember.
Did someone really hate it?
Someone gave it a 2. I can't remember. I should write down who gives it what, then I can email people individually and complain.
Like, what the fuck were you thinking?
Just send people hate mail.
Yeah.
Just the song alone, and the bar, and the hitting the guy with the guitar.
I know.
I love that bit, yeah. Just striding down the bar in like Matador style. With that bang.
I've been learning that song.
Oh, yeah. I like that song.
It's brilliant.
Right then. Thank you for listening, everybody, and thank you guys for turning up and doing this show. That's been so much fun.
It has.
Very enjoyable. Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks.
And the new audio system seems to be working somehow.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I haven't played back the recordings it makes yet, so maybe it's all going wrong. We don't know. Right. We'll be back soon with another episode, everybody. Catch you later. Bye-bye.